everyone. This is episode 381 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, I think. I also think I'm your host, Mark Kuznets, though I more so know that than think, for the most part. I'm not 100% sure, but about 99% sure. Anyway, I got a few games to talk about today, and a little bit of anime, and some movie talk, and I think I will just jump right into it, because I don't have any funny stories or amusing little tidbits to talk about, so I'm going to talk about Chess Ultra and Save the Ninja Clan. So I got codes for both of these games, for the Xbox One, and I've been playing a bit of both. Chess Ultra is a chess game. It's really weird reviewing or just talking about a chess game in general, because if it gets the chess right, that's... I mean, how are you going to screw up chess? Basically, if the AI is dreadful, if it's super, super easy or super, super difficult, that's a problem. If the multiplayer doesn't work, that's a problem. Other than that, if you can move the pieces in the correct ways, it's pretty good. So Chess Ultra is a pretty good chess game. The AI is easy on the easier difficulties, more challenging as you prove your value and increase your ranking. And online is solid. One thing that's nice is that you have the ability, you can turn this off if you like, but you have the ability to play across platforms. What that means exactly, I'm not sure if it means different consoles or what, but it says, I forget what the terminology exactly was, but it was, do you want to have cross-network play? I think it was cross-network, and I don't know if it just means, oh, you play with this against other people on the PC or PS4, etc. But having that option is nice. And then the thing I like most about it, because the single player and, you know, multiplayer is just playing chess against each other. You have various options like, standard timer play, quick timer, etc. But what I really like, and I can't remember if these were in some of the other chess games I've played, but there are these challenges that are basically like puzzles. And some of them are, get checkmate in one move, get checkmate in two moves, three moves, etc. And you have to figure it out. You know, of course, the one move challenges are much easier because you can, you know that you have to get checkmate in one move. So you don't have to try and think multiple moves ahead, which can be more difficult for people. And also, eventually, you're going to just via... rules of subtraction or whatever, you will eventually get the right answer in those challenges, whereas it'll be much more difficult to just kind of brute force your way through the multiple move challenges, because you could make your way and constantly, you know, do the same first two moves and then try multiple moves on your third try, etc. But that aspect of the game is quite fun, and there are also historical matches which put you in place maybe four or five moves before the checkmate happened, and you are, unless you already know those things by heart and are just a chess, you know, aficionado, you have to figure out how they checkmated their opponent in however many moves, and those are fun as well. So The core chess gameplay and the basic modes and all that, really solid. But I really appreciate the challenges that they've put into the game, which may or may not be in every other chess game. My recollection is not great because chess games are not super frequent. They don't come out, you know, all the time or anything. The last one I think that came out of any prominence is Pure Chess, and that is, I think, a few years old. So, yeah, if you love chess, definitely pick up Chess Ultra. I think it's $15,
And it's a solid chess game. I mean, the thing about chess games, too, is that if you like chess, you're probably going to pick it up because you don't have many chess games to pick from. And when you get a new one, you're like, well, why not? Unless, you know, you've got one that's just so perfect that you don't need anything else. I know on mobile, on iOS, I forget what it is. It's like T-Chess, lowercase T-Chess or something, which is, I think it was one of the first games in the App Store or one of the, T-Chess Pro. And I think it was just one of the most prominent iOS games from the very, very beginning, from the inception when the apps hit the store. But I love chess, and Chess Ultra is a very, very solid offering. And like I said, I really, really appreciate the challenges. Those are the bits that I really enjoy, because any chess game will give you the ability to simply play chess. But I just don't feel like that many, or all of them at least, offer such challenges. And I like those. And maybe they offer different types of challenges. But I really like the checkmate in so-and-so number of moves. I like that for puzzles, for challenges. So yeah. And then Save the Ninja Clan is an action platformer, I guess you'd call it, puzzle platformer. Very much so in the same vein as Super Meat Boy, because when you die, you restart, and it's a pretty quick restart, but once you complete the level, you see a replay with all of your deaths as well. So you see those little shadows in addition to your successful run. And it's a solid game. One of the things that does annoy me about it is that it's a bit inconsistent with how you're able to navigate the level, and that I'm not sure what differentiates a wall that I can grab onto and slide down and just keep jumping off of, and the ones I can't. I don't understand why some are unable to be navigated, be climbed that way, and some are. And the ones you can't, the one kind of ninja gimmick you get in it, and I've played through the first area, beat the boss, and the boss was really just another ninja that I had to outrun and reach the end before them. But to reach those areas where you can't climb the wall in that manner, you are a ninja. You throw a shuriken or whatever it's called at the wall, and it gives you a temporary kind of stepping stone so that you can basically build sort of a ladder for a lot of high walls that you can't climb otherwise. And there are enemies in the level that you can negate their projectiles with your own. You can kill them, of course. Some will throw grenades, which if they hit you, you blow up. There are certain things that are kind of out of N plus in levels, like guided missiles, which really remind me of N plus. There are spinning blades and all that kind of jazz, like you'd see in Super Meat Boy. It's very, very much so a Super Meat Boy-esque game, more so than any other puzzle platformer. And it's solid. The mechanics are okay. They're not the tightest controls in the genre, but it's very solid. It doesn't look that great, I have to say that, but I wasn't expecting great visuals from it. There is a decent bit of humor in it, in the hidden areas and whatnot that the game has, which aren't particularly hard to find, but when they do happen, you get sort of a little pop-up that starts giving you dialogue. It's sort of like the computer system bringing up a little menu telling you, don't do this. You want to go in the other direction. Why are you doing this? And they get a little bit creative in how you have to navigate some of these hidden areas, where they make it so that, oh, it looks like you should be able to walk on this, but actually that is whatever, 20 feet in the game world above there. Or, oh, they'll just switch the controls so that everything works in the opposite way. and stuff like that when you try to reach the end of these hidden areas. And reaching them, I don't know if it happens in every case, but it seems like in most cases, reaching the end of the hidden area will actually pass you on to the next level, which is nice. I did just earn the ability to sprint in the second world, so I don't know how many worlds are in the game and how many more abilities there may or may not be. But it's a solid platformer for people who really like platformers. And I actually was not sure how I was going to feel about it. And then I saw the price. And people might say, you know what, a game is a game. And I'm like, honestly, the game is solid regardless of the price. But it is $3. And that kind of blew me away because I have perused the Xbox One and Steam and, you know, PSN, the stores, many times looking at games, and I've seen many of the games that are in the $3 to $5, even $10 range, and there's a lot of garbage out there, and a lot of garbage out there for $5, $10, or in that $5 to $10 range. So when I saw that this game was actually only $3, I was really, really surprised because it is a much better game than a lot of the lower priced trash out there. So knowing that it's only $3, if you like platformers at all, especially platformers like Super Meat Boy or anything that requires precision and is a little bit brutal but rewarding when you complete levels and all that, I think Save the Ninja Clan is definitely worth picking up. At $3, I think, unless there's something about it that just turns you off, I don't see how you won't get your money's worth out of the game. So yeah, I would definitely recommend picking it up. I played it on Xbox One. Not sure if it's on... I'm not sure all the platforms it's on. Probably on Steam, because what's not on Steam these days? But definitely check it out. It's a surprisingly solid game. It doesn't do anything really new or amazing, but what it does fairly well, and it's super cheap, ridiculously cheap for how good it is, or how decent it is. I don't know. I'm surprised by the price, given that things like Soda Drinker Pro or whatever the hell that game is called is $5, or that game where I just see her ugly face, and it's like, Alice wants to make a call. Alice has something to say. I don't know, but that thing is garbage. That game I reviewed recently that's only local co-op, no AI, which mechanically was fine, I guess, but it was kind of boring, and the fact that it's only local. Like, Save the Ninja Clan is a really, really solid game, and it's especially solid for a $3 game, and I really recommend picking up. The only thing I really don't like about it is the name. Save the Ninja Clan is just a weird name for a game. But yeah, I was surprised by how good it was and how much fun I had with it. So yeah, those are the games, other than Stardew Valley, I've played since the last show. Anime-wise, I finished Grand Blue, and I really liked the show. I was surprised by how much I liked it. The only problem I have with it is that it was a 13-episode season. Apparently, the Blu-ray sales in Japan have been really, really good. So there's good chance that there will be a second season, which I'm super happy about. But the one thing I don't like is that the last episode shouldn't have been part of the season. In my opinion, it should have just been an OVA or something, because what it was basically just a montage of the entire season. Because it's based on a game, it's basically showing you a bunch of scenes that happened throughout the season if you happen to roll a female character. So if you wanted to know what the story would be like, if I think Gron is the guy's name, was actually a female There you go. And they also have the bikini beach scene and all that kind of crap for that episode as well. So it just was a very weird way to end the season, to be part of the official season and not some side thing that isn't part of this the season's arc. So I just thought that was weird and a bit annoying to be considered part of the actual season. And then I've been catching up with Tsukiga Kare, and I'm through 8 episodes, and it's pretty good. It just is kind of tense looking at these high schoolers, these junior high schoolers going through their first romances, their first loves, and not really knowing what to do or how to do it. Because it treats it in a very honest way, and it can just be hard. I appreciate how much of the show is given and how much of the story is portrayed with actions and mannerisms and looks and not dialogue. There's a lot of silence in the show, which I really like. The visuals I like, even though sometimes the excessive highlighting that style can look a little cheap to me. I don't know what it is about it, but also the one part of the art that I think is really bad and sometimes stands out more than it should is that in crowd scenes, they have the back characters, the non-important characters are CG, and it's not great CG, and it just is kind of ugly and sometimes stands out more than it should. But story-wise, really, really strong art, pretty good overall, and the voice acting and all that is very good. I'm enjoying it, though. It's a bit, despite just being about these junior high kids and their romances and these romances becoming tangled and friendships and all that jazz, it is very, very stressful because you see the ways in which they don't really know how to act with each other, and you see how these other characters also have feelings for these characters and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just, you know, it reminds me of that time, and that was a very stressful time, and it's just like, ooh. So if you're into that stuff, because I know there are some people who really, really love these kind of things, like Golden Time and all that kind of jazz, definitely worth checking out. But if you are somebody who prefers a lot of action in your anime, then Tsukiga Kare is not worth your time at all, because you will be bored senseless. But I enjoy it. And then movies, I just want to talk about The Adventures of Bakaru Banzai Into the Eighth Dimension, or whatever it was, Across the Eighth Dimension. So I've been meaning to watch this for a while, and I've been holding off because I knew it was going to be weird, and I knew I had to prepare myself. And I thought I prepared myself to finally watch it, and I was very wrong. It is very, very weird, and after watching it, and still now, after a day has passed, I have no idea how I feel about it. I don't know if I liked it. I don't know if I hated it. I don't know how I feel about it. All I know is that it was a thing that is a thing that I watched, and it was weird, and that's it. And I watched it almost immediately after watching Labyrinth for the first time, which is weird in its own right. But Labyrinth, compared to Bakaru Banzai, is like the most basic, normal thing in the world. And just touching on Labyrinth, it's fine. Maybe I would have liked it more had I grown up with it and watched it as a child, but I didn't. So I appreciate the Jim Henson aspect of it all, and the puppetry and animatronics and all that jazz. That's great. But the story is not that great. The plot and all that is whatever. It's pretty basic, and it isn't all that engrossing. So yeah, I think the movie really is only for people who are nostalgic for it, or they really, really love Jim Henson, or they really love David Bowie and want to see him sing and dance with puppets every now and again and play with this little baby. Other than that, whatever. It's not that great or anything. Back to Bakuru Banzai. It is just such a weird movie, and it makes weird movies that I love feel normal, like Surf Ninjas and Tank Girl and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It reminds me most of the Rocky Horror Picture Show minus the musical aspect and way crazier. Because what it feels like to me is like the person who, I don't know if he wrote it and directed it, I feel like that has to be the case because I can't imagine two people going in on this ridiculous nonsense. But it feels like the person who created this found their notebook from when they were 13 years old. And the notebook was titled The Adventures of Bakuru Banzai. And it was written in all caps with number 2 pencil. And in all of the empty space, they doodled drawings and all this jazz. And being a 13-year-old, Bakuru Banzai was, of course, he's going to be a neuroscientist. He's going to be an astronaut. He's going to be a rock star. He's going to be a martial artist. He's going to be everything because why not? He's awesome. I want to be awesome. Let's make this awesome character. And so that's what the movie is. Bakuru Banzai is this half American, half Asian martial artist, rock star, neuroscientist who's figured out a way to enter other dimensions, and then aliens come into play and one of them wants to destroy something or other, and they need to, there's some alien battle that's going on and Earth has gotten in the way. I don't know what the hell happened. But it's got quite the cast. The Bakuru Banzai is played by Peter, the guy who played RoboCop. I can't remember his name. But you also have Jeff Goldblum in it and John Lithgow in a very weird role with horrible teeth. And some other people as well. But it's really weird. It is really, really weird. And yeah, I don't know what to say about it other than it's weird. And it's just, it's like a 13-year-old's imagination has been given a budget and no roadblocks, no rules. And it's just able to put it on screen, which is admirable, I guess. I don't know. It's very, very, it's something. It is something. I don't know what it is. I don't feel like I can, I don't want to say I can't recommend it. I just don't know how to recommend it. I mean, if you want to watch something, or if you like watching weird, different things, check it out. It is available on Blu-ray. I got it on Blu-ray because my library has it. It was released however many years ago via Shout Factory, maybe part of their Shout Select line, which is a company that releases a lot of cult movies on Blu-ray and movies that are just not available otherwise, or either they have been released on Blu-ray a long time ago and the transfer was just really, really bad. Like with Roadhouse, they recently released that again on Blu-ray with a better, clearer transfer and a lot of special features. So the thing that's nice about Shout Factory is that they do a pretty good job for the most part with their transfers and cleaning up pictures and getting you the best picture that a movie has ever seen on Blu-ray. And they put a lot of movies on Blu-ray that would not be if not for them. And they also just give you a lot of special features. So some of the movies that they've put on that I am happy about, like Hackers, that's from them. The one that makes me the happiest is Midnight Run. That was not available on Blu-ray in the States until last year, I think, when they finally released it, which just, or maybe a few years ago. But either way, It wasn't available until they released it, and that is one of my all-time favorite movies, my favorite De Niro movie. And when that came out, I was just so ridiculously happy. They've released Bubba Ho-Tep, Roadhouse, like I said. One of the more recent kind of substantial ones was Red Dawn and their Shout Select series. And yeah, they also do a lot of cult things that aren't good at all, but people like them because of how bad they are, like the Garbage Pails Kids movie, which I love the fact that that's available on Blu-ray, but I also hate it because there are movies that I love that aren't available on Blu-ray, and just knowing that that stupid movie is, Garbage Pails Kids are so disgusting. My brother loved them. Ugh. But yeah, Buckaroo Banzai, it's a thing. And this podcast, it's a thing. And it's a thing that's about to end. Not for good, just this episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Cusinez. Hope you all enjoy this weird-ish episode. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my Animalist, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush 3. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal podcast, as well as the art I do, which, if you'd like to see all of it in one place, go over to pxsart.com, where you can see it all and get links to where you can purchase prints of each and every picture. Almost each and every picture. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. And of course, if you'd like to help out the podcast, you can rate, review, and subscribe to it on iTunes, because that really does help. But if you don't want to do that, just do it anyway. But if you don't want to listen to the show via iTunes, it is also available on Stitcher Radio, Google Play Store, Player FM. It's SoundCloud or old episodes now. I still haven't updated it. But yeah. And some other podcasts you should check out that are friends of the family are the Sports Kind of Leash podcast, which is all about racing and co-hosted by Pixelator Radio co-host Rich. And that you can find at scunleashed.com. And then, of course, the Sports Car Unleashed podcast, which I just said, and I don't know what is going on with me. My mind is broken. But what I meant to say is the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is hosted by two lovely fellows by the name of Jace and Steve. And it's all about anime. And, you know, they slack off every time. And I am so annoyed when they do that bit. But you can find that at crazysunshinepodcast.com, which I'm checking out right now. And it seems to be maybe broken. But I don't know. I can let them know. Or maybe this is just the way things work. They have podcasts. They have links, at least. And then a page that you can't scroll or anything. Just two guys, podcast. Let's see. Let's click the podcast. Podcast takes you to, okay, it's just maybe a weird landing page, Crazy Sunshine. Because here's the blog. Yeah, I guess. Just weird. Weird setup. I think you should maybe look into changing it, Crazy Sunshine folk. But anyway, that will do it for this episode. Did I actually get the number right? Let me check. Is it 381? No, it's 380. Damn. So this whole time, I was wrong. It's only episode 380. But that's okay. Isn't it? Yeah. Okay.